How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Front Yard Sucks. This is episode number 6. We are coming to you live late Thursday night following what was a pretty contentious, action-packed Red Sox-Blue Jays 3-game set in Toronto Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Your Red Sox currently have 81 wins and are chugging along. Sam, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's pretty late here in Central Time. We're just hitting midnight, but, you know, we're on the grind.
You can grind, don't sleep. That's what it's all about. So today's episode will consist of a recap of the J series. We will also look ahead and preview the O's series, as well as talk about the Yankees taking on the Rangers. I know Sam definitely can fill us in on how the Rangers have been playing and what to look for in that one. And then also we're going to talk about a couple of key points around the league. There have been some interesting things that have happened in the last couple of days that are definitely noteworthy. So to get things started, game one, Red Sox, Blue Jays. Red Sox looked sluggish out of the gate. I don't know what it was. Stroman stuff definitely looked good. He's had sort of a rocky year with some injuries sprinkled in. But he looked probably as dominant as I've seen him.
He looked like 2016 Stroman.
Yeah. Yeah. He looked like the guy that everyone thought he was going to be following the WBC when he was lights out for Team USA. And I got to say, I kind of like the way the guy pitches with so much swag.
Oh my God. I absolutely hate it.
I see. That's the thing, is that's like the collision between old school baseball style, which is sort of like the, I don't know. I think Chris Sale is a great example, which is like no emotion, just go out there and pitch and let your stuff do the talking. Whereas Stroman's, he works in the mistiming hitters. He works in these like big leg kicks. Lots of flair in his game, like big on style, sort of like what we've seen with the new age of football. A lot of people sort of like basketball, like wearing different items and being all about like just like swag and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I mean, I don't mind that. I just don't like the whole theatrics that he pulls while he's pitching and in the dugout, you know, like yelling at people and dancing all the time. Like, come on. Like,
yeah, I mean, but we've,
that's annoying.
Yeah. But we're starting to see that with Javi Baez. We're starting to see it a little bit. Like Mookie loves to show emotion. I mean, obviously that's different. There's a difference between the theatrics that you're talking about. And then also showing emotion. But we're definitely entering sort of a new age of baseball that's not the same sort of like, oh, like respect the game kind of thing. So, I mean, I think that Stroman is a good example of that. I kind of like.
You know, what's funny is that's the whole Blue Jays team in general. They're all a bunch of. See, you like it, but I think the whole Blue Jays in general and Stroman at the top are a bunch of freaking cocky jack wagons. You know, like Pilar and whatnot. They're always barking and trying to, you know, they're 51 and 61. Like they have no room to be cocky anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, we've sort of seen that too. Like that sort of played out with their team this year. I know that,
you know what I mean? Like Jose Bautista too. Like yeah, he's, I mean, not like, with them anymore, but
yeah, he helped like usher in that era a little bit. I mean, Dave O'Brien, Red Sox play by play guy for Nesson. If anyone listening to this podcast doesn't know who Dave O'Brien is, but he was talking about how Joe Gibbons is a very old school style manager and is very sort of like sticks to the playbook, like the old playbook in baseball, and how that his team has had issues with fielding and they've had issues with hustle and stuff like that, which Dave O'Brien mentioned, like you don't expect to see that out of a John Gibbons team. But it's something that I think is more the personality of that team. And obviously, like, that's not – you can't really be doing that when you're 10 games under 500 and, I don't know, 20 games back of the first-place Red Sox. But still think it's, like, kind of interesting, and we sort of saw that this series, which we haven't seen a lot this year. And I mean, Stroman, it was a good day to be cocky on the mound because he pitched really well.
Yeah, luckily he got that blister in the eighth because he was coming out for the eighth inning.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I don't know, I think it was one of those things, like, Stroman was very outwardly emotional about wanting to stay in the game, and was pretty pissed off that he had to be taken out. And honestly, I would be too, because the Red Sox had, what, one run against him, two runs against him maybe?
No, just one.
Just one, and then ended up winning by a score of 10-7. So
yeah, he two hit us.
Yeah, so ended up being a really fortunate turn of events for the Red Sox. I mean, in that game, sort of, you're thinking coming off, like, through the first seven innings, you're thinking, okay, you're coming off just a huge series against the Yankees. You've got a day off. You've got to travel. You've had some injuries, so you're not really sure who's playing where. And it's one of those games you sort of think, like, if the team wasn't going to be sharp for a game, it would be this one. So I personally didn't really have an issue with how the team looked, but clearly was very enthused that they came alive.
What about the pitching, though? Come on, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 pitchers in this ballgame, and none of them pitched good besides maybe Joe Kelly.
That's the thing, too, that I kind of want to touch on, is that you're coming off a series where you had three of your four starters go into the sixth and two pitch at least 8 innings. So that's not a lot of bullpen work. And the thing that we've seen is that teams, there's like such a fine line between having your bullpen work too much and have to cover the starting pitcher's asses, and then also just not really working at all. And I think that Tuesday was a great example of that sort of catching up with the Red Sox. Like, a lot of these guys haven't had work in a while and it's starting to show.
You know what? Why do you think they took Keith Hembree out? I mean, he came in because Pomeranz pitched 4 2/3, and then Hembree came in to finish out that inning and finish it out in like 2 seconds, and then they brought in Workman.
Yeah, I was sort of curious about that too.
It seemed like everybody got work that day.
Yeah, I mean, 7 pitchers. Obviously, the 7 runs doesn't look great, but I think the Red Sox probably still could have gotten it done with 5 pitchers. It was just a matter of getting guys innings who hadn't had innings in a little while. But Pomeranz, our prayers have been answered. He's been moved to the bullpen.
See, I don't know how it's a prayer, but you just hope to see. I don't know if you saw yesterday, I kind of like posed the question because, you know, they were talking about how Cora was having to make a choice, and the choice was made that Johnson would stay in the starting rotation, which he deserves it. You know, mm-hmm. He's come up with some awesome spot starts in situations where he didn't even know he was going to be pitching. Yeah. But on the other hand, think of it this way. The relievers have been such bad shape lately. It's almost like, why wouldn't you want Johnson to go to the bullpen and give it a nice little spark?
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that Johnson has had poor numbers the first couple of times he came out of the pen after transitioning back to that role. So I think in the meantime, before we get Eduardo Rodriguez back, which should be very soon, fingers crossed. It makes sense to keep BJ in the rotation just because he's pitching so well. It's not like Pomeranz had a shot. And it's so the thing with Pomeranz is this last couple starts, he hasn't been getting hit around. Like, balls have been hit hard, but the big thing that we've seen from him is that his command has just been trash. He walked 5 guys on Tuesday. He hasn't had a walk he hasn't had a game with less than 3 walks since the before Christ era. I don't even know how long. And so that's like, that to me is a very telling stat that he just doesn't have it.
Oh yeah. Plus you can look at his pitch count. He had 84 pitches and 4 2/3, but and only 44 were strikes. So he was only throwing 52% strikes.
Yeah. You know, you can't have that out of a starter.
Yeah, no, and all those walks were all leadoff walks too. Like, I think he had a back-to-back one, and they're all, you know, he's putting people on base. Four hits. Luckily, and you know what's funny is his last two starts, he's done only like four innings, right?
Yeah.
He's only, so in his last start, he only had two runs against him too. And this one, he had two. So, like, he gets in these situations and then somehow works out of them without, you know, minimal damage.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where when a team this good is losing games because of someone like him on the hill every 5 days, there's no point to try and, like, remedy him as a starter. You just move him into the bullpen. There are other guys who are doing the trick. And I think that – I think every soul in Red Sox Nation agrees with that.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing was the bats came alive in the eighth
after the
inning.
Seventh. Yeah.
JD hit a 3-run home run to take a 5-3 lead. Barnes blew it big time. Gave up a run. Then Kimbrel blew it on a 3-0, just get me over fastball that was pummeled.
Joe Kelly had a run in there. It says it doesn't have it listed because it was because of
the air. Yeah, the air from Benny.
Yeah, but I think it should be charged to him anyway, just because even though Benny flew it over second base, Joe Kelly still tried to run two pickoff plays on a slow-ass dude at second base with two outs – or with one out and threw the ball in the center field. So they should have charged that to him anyways. But I thought Joe Kelly actually pitched good besides him throwing the ball to Mookie Betts or Jackie Bradley, whoever was out there.
I think he's definitely starting to figure it out a little bit more. I think that obviously, like, you don't love – we'll touch on the relievers too down the road, because that certainly was one thing that needs to be addressed following the series. But JD Martinez hit his 34th of the year to take the lead alone. And then Mitch Moreland hit an absolute tank in the 10th inning. 3-run shot. He's been struggling recently, but you know with him, he's sort of a streaky hitter, and so you know that he's going to get hot.
Well, ever since he got that start in New York, he's been hitting the ball.
Yeah, yeah. That swing against Chance Adams really brought his swing back to life.
You know who bombed one, too, was Bradley.
Yeah.
Right after him. He put one 410 barely. Feet.
No, yeah, 410. It looked like it barely got out. But
yeah, but
410 feet, good for him.
Yeah, doesn't the Rogers Center seem like one of the biggest fields besides, like, maybe – what's the Giants field? It's Giants Safeco? No.
No, it's AT&T. I'm watching the Giants game right now. They're getting...
Yeah, besides the AT&T park, I feel like the Rogers Center feels so spread out.
Well, the thing with the thing with the Rogers Center is it just feels like it's like 410 feet all the way around.
Yeah, like what today, Sandy Leon hit that one shot that looked like he thought it was going out. I think it's like 340 to left. It's huge.
Yeah, it's big. It's a big ballpark, and there's not really much variation. It's just sort of like round. It's like a semicircle.
It's traditional shaped diamond.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That pretty much wraps up game one. I don't know if you have anything else to touch on.
Yeah, just the relief. I mean, bats came alive after the eighth, and even after we got the lead in the 10th, freaking Thornburg comes in and gives up another big homer, which made it 10-7, and they're kind of flirting with it. So overall, we basically had to bring out the big guns in our lineup to win this ball game.
Yeah. Game two, since the eighth.
Before you, I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson in game two, was it a good or not good or bad start?
Phenomenal start.
You think so?
I think phenomenal.
Even though?
So here's the thing. So Brian Johnson went seven?
Yes.
So he went seven. He gave up 5 runs. He struck out. Do you have the stats in front of you?
Yeah, he struck out 6 and had 2 walks.
Okay. So going into the sixth, he had two runs? Maybe not. Maybe he was scoreless through six. So Brian Johnson is not used.
In the six is when they scored.
He is so Brian Johnson is not used to pitching through seven or even six innings. We've seen that all year. He's phenomenal for five, and has been. And then usually, because you sort of think, oh, spot start bullpen day a little bit, and so I sort of think, why have him go seven? Like he's not really like maybe it was good to sort of feel that out. And I think that because of the lead that we had, that was okay to sort of let him run a little bit.
That's been backfiring in Cora's face lately.
Yeah, but we haven't been losing those games, so that's the important thing.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have came out for the seventh.
After the sixth, he should have been gone after the sixth. That's just a really quality start. His curveball looked the best I've seen it all year.
Yeah, I agree too. Those first five innings were a masterpiece, and then I wasn't really upset about the sixth inning because by then you're up 7-2. But I mean, you come in the seventh inning. He made it a close ball game. What, it was 8-5, you know? It seemed like any time we got a lead that – I don't know how many home runs they hit in the series. They had to hit 1,000 home runs, it felt like.
They literally all their runs were off of home runs.
I believe it.
But Devers is back. I love that Cora gave him the start against some pooey righty and then just gave him today off. Just like, yeah, you got your double and your home run yesterday. Just like take a couple more.
You know, he stole a base, or he was trying to steal a base too. I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't really understand that. I don't really mind because he's probably feeling pretty good. If it was just like a hamstring strain, those things could feel better after like you could literally like wake up after 3 days and be like, why am I on the DL? I could run a marathon right now, even though Devers can't run more than 100 feet.
He's a big chalky like baby though. Like he's not fast.
No, he's that's the thing is he's like deceivingly quick. He's like there's like say you're like teaching or you're helping with like a youth camp and there's this like little chubby kid and all of a sudden you're playing kickball and this dude like squirts one into like the right center field gap and next thing you know he's like standing on third just cuz he's got wheels. He seems like the type of guy that doesn't grow up. He just like grows out and then he's going to hit puberty in like 2 years and he's going to come back and he's going to be like 6'4" and ripped. And all of a sudden he's going to be able to hit the ball another 500 feet and you'll be like, what happened?
Oh my God. Yeah. It was good to see him come out though, after being out for 2 weeks and hit and seeing, I mean, granted they were facing Hauschild, which was his debut, I'm pretty sure, which had been like 2.1 innings.
Didn't go well. Not a great debut.
Was that him that got ejected or?
No, someone else got ejected. Oh, no,
it was like Patrica or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But Devers, see, the thing with Devers is like, I find his swing just to be so weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in his swing.
It's just, he looks like he's trying to like frame a golf shot. Like he's like a club twirl short of looking like he just hit a drive 350 feet.
Yeah, that's all of his, like he'll hit a line drive like that too. And it looks like his launch angle is like, that's 180. That's 90. His launch angle looks like it's like 45, 50 degrees every time.
Yeah.
He's like swinging straight up.
It's like, that's the thing too, is that like, it's going to be, I think about this all the time. Like, what is Devers going to be like in 4 years when he's 25 and all of a sudden, like, he's not just like such a baby anymore. Like I can't picture him on the Red Sox, like not as the younger brother to everyone on the team. Like literally, he's literally Cora's son.
He looks like, and it's so crazy. I keep forgetting that he's only 21 years old. So when you say 4 years from now, I'm like, oh my God, he'll still only be 25.
Yeah, yeah. So speaking of 25-year-olds, Red Sox win game 2, 10-5. Speaking of 25-year-olds, Mookie Betts did the thing tonight.
Oh, my God, yeah. The super cycle. I don't think that's a coined term yet.
I was literally thinking the same thing. Like, he had 5 at-bats. People forget that he walked. Yeah. He was an at-bat short of hitting for the mega cycle. all he would have needed to do in his sixth at bat was lean in to a backup curveball, and it would have nicked him, and then he would have had a walk, a hit by pitch, a single, a double, a triple, and a home run.
Is that a coin term?
We're coining both those terms.
Okay, cool.
So credit right. to Front Yard Sox Podcast.
We got the super cycle and then the mega cycle.
The mega cycle.
Yeah, well, you know what it was is, you know, all these rumors, not rumors, but everyone was coming out like, hey, does JD Martinez not win the MVP if he gets the triple crown? And then Mookie was like, well, let me just go 4-for-4 real quick and end this discussion.
just give me a hot sec, boys. I got this one. So that's the thing. I've loved tracking Mookie's stats this year just because they're so weird. Like, he's hitting almost 350, but he had an OPS of 110 for so long, or of 1100 for so long. And you think, like, that's insane. That means that not only is he slugging 600, which is incredibly difficult to do, there are currently, let me get this. There are currently two guys in the majors slugging for, no, sorry, there were four guys slugging 600. Can you name them?
Mike Trout.
Yes.
Is JD Martinez on this list?
Oof, definitely.
Okay. Give me a hint.
It's literally the four AL MVP candidates.
From the Marlins?
First of all, who from the Marlins is playing in the AL? And second, who on the Marlins would have a good enough slugging percentage to be up with JD Martinez, Mookie, and Mike Trout? Probably Giancarlo, actually.
I was thinking Giancarlo had to be up there, but not, like, I don't think this year. Well, no, even this year, he's still up there.
He's got a... Let me just scroll my list down real quick. 521. So he is 140 points behind. Is it Mookie,
Jose Ramirez?
Yeah, Mookie, okay. JD, Mike Trout, Jose Ramirez.
I almost said Javier Baez. I think he has to be up there.
Yeah, Javier Baez is like 585.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's the thing that I find crazy about Mookie Betts' stat line this year is that he has 95 runs, which is like four behind the major league lead. He has 22 stolen bases, which is stupid. We know that. 27 home runs. He has an OPS of over 1,100. It's 1,103, which he's pretty much been sitting around or at all year. And only has 59 RBIs. He has more than double the walks that he has strikeouts. I read that wrong. He has about the same walks to strikeouts, which is like his stat line is like something you see in a video game.
That's so crazy because I just pulled up his stats. And tell me why he's only at 378 at-bats. And last year he had 628 at-bats.
Well, because he missed those like 13 games.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes – okay.
Yeah, so he has played 13 games less than Mike Trout.
Yeah. The reason his RBIs aren't up is because he's leadoff. I mean, that's not his fault.
Yeah, which is just like – I just find that it's like having a leadoff hitter, putting up those kind of power numbers – are ridiculous.
Ooh,
he literally has
WAR is at 7.1 now.
Yeah, he's definitely getting up there. Having a 400 on base percentage is considered elite. Having a 600 slugging percentage is considered elite. And he has a 434 on base percentage and a 668 slugging percentage.
Jesus Christ! I think, and I like to look at the league average. And, like, it's kind of weird because the league average and batting average has gone down, like, significantly just because of progressiveness
in
pitching.
Home runs and strikeouts, baby.
Yeah. So, guess what the league average is right now for batting average?
Probably 240. No, 250.
It's like 238 something or 239. So, yeah. Mookie Betts is a whole point above average. That's like, that's ridiculous.
100 points, 100 points above. That's, yeah, it's unreal. But anyways, Mookie Betts hit for the cycle tonight. And you're thinking, when a guy out and pulls off a triple with the power that Mookie Betts does in the beginning of a game, and he's 2 for 2, you immediately think, like, cycle. I'm sitting there at 5:30 when Mookie Betts is 3 for 3 now, thinking there's no way he doesn't hit for the cycle.
Like, this, and you know, guy, what? He did it in such heroic fashion. You know, his last at bat in the ninth inning, it goes to a 3-2 count. And that ball
game that doesn't
high.
Even matter.
Yeah, that ball looked kind of high, and he was like, fuck it, I'm tomahawking it. Yeah. And just launched it.
Best part about that was I think this shows a lot about the character of the team this year, too, was that Mookie hits that, and the first thing he does running down the first baseline is, like, turn of the dugout and, like, firing the boys up.
It sucks that it had to happen during a loss, though. I was kind of, like, bummed out about losing because we took the lead twice.
Walk-off cycle home run. That would have been wild.
Oh, my God. But, I mean, you can't complain. We still won the series, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. It's like, I was thinking about this. If you play for the Blue Jays, you're a Blue Jays fan, and you're like, wow, we only lost 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, who are literally averaging better than, they have a better win percentage than if you were to win every series 2 out of 3.
Yeah. You know what? We can only lose 15 more games. That's it, Ben. No more games in 15. And we have 36 to win. Which is not hard to do. It doesn't. Well, no. Well, hold on. Let me redo my math on that. Yeah, 36. 30. We got to go 36 and 15 to beat the record.
Let's get going, boys. Let's do it.
I think we can. That doesn't sound hard to do. I think that's the way. What, they're 26 and are 25-6 in their last 31 ball games now.
Yeah. I mean, they can do it. That's for sure. So, Porcello, I'm just going to I mean, we've had a couple of these discussions with different pitchers over the course of this year. Tufts were just bad start. I just want to leave it at that.
You remember what we talked about last time? You told me I had to pick a pitcher.
Yeah. Porcello.
Yep.
Yeah. Well done.
But I think this was just a fluke, though. I think the Blue Jays are just, like, hitting the goddamn
Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have his number, for sure.
Yeah.
Blue Jays have his number. So that does it. The Red Sox take 2 out of 3. They lose tonight 8-5. Again, really, I'm not reading into it at all. They're going to lose ball games. I don't like losing ball games. I don't want to lose ball games. But even a team as good as the Red Sox are going to lose some ball games. Still 8 games up. The Yankees went on and swept the White Sox. But that concludes it for section one, brought to you by Google Chrome. Google Chrome, the best place to do all of your homework and watch all of the Red Sox games, illegally or legally.
If we don't get that sponsorship from Google now, I'm going to be real upset.
Yeah, dude, this is free airtime. that was summary season. That's what we're going to call that, summary season.
I'm all right with that.
And brought to you by Google Chrome. So that does it for first section, and we will be right back. Welcome back to episode number 6 of Front Yard Sucks. To cover section 2, looking ahead, Red Sox travel to Camden Yards to take on the mighty Baltimore Orioles. It feels like we were just in Baltimore, and it feels like we just had three home runs, one for Mookie, one for Benny, and one for JD, all taken all snatched right from under our noses.
Why'd you have to remind me of that? I had just forgotten about that.
Yeah. That was probably the most brutal thing to happen since the All-Star break.
Yeah, but now you just reminded me of it. I totally wiped it from my head.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they're going to mention it about 600 times the upcoming series.
Hey, we should make that a little drinking game. Yeah, even though Ben is under the legal limit, so I'll go ahead and handle that drinking game every time they mention JD Martinez had a home run. And Mookie, and who was the other one, Benny?
Benny.
Yep. All right, I'll handle
that.
Two
solo shots and a three-run bomb for Mookie, which would help him, which would go a long way in his statistics as well.
Hey, the Orioles are a good team.
You say they're a good team?
Yeah.
Oh no, they are right in the thick of the postseason.
How many games?
They are stacked. They've got Chance Cisco.
Wow.
They've got Adam Jones.
Hey, he actually is good. I mean, you can't really hate on him.
They've got Chris Davis, who is having a career year. Let me tell you.
Oh my God, he's hitting 159.
No, I've never seen a batting average so high.
Oh my God, it seems like there's only two guys above 270. That's Jones and Valencia.
Oh no, their lineup is atrocious. We've got Eovaldi on the hill tomorrow. Then Price goes in game one of a doubleheader, which is that makeup for that
whoop, whoop.
Shit show. And then we don't actually have not set a starter for game two. Might be a bullpen thing.
Hey, did you hear what – so the MLB rules allow you to add one more guy to your roster if you're in a doubleheader.
Yeah.
And instead of adding a pitcher, the rumor is that Alex Cora is bringing up a position player, and it's not Tony Renda. Isn't that weird?
Is it Sam Travis?
No, they haven't announced it yet. It just can't be Tony Renda just because of some, like, legality of the rules somehow, how it works.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be, like, Sam Travis.
Or Brandon Phillips.
It could be Brandon Phillips. It could be Josh Okimi, who hit his two home runs since joining Pawtucket. We'll touch on the farm system in a second because I am thrilled.
I don't know anything about our farm system, so that is all you.
I'll fill you in. And then Sale goes Sunday. I've seen some guy was like – somebody on Twitter came up with like – they're like, oh, like Sale can't wait for his rehab start. And I've seen that tweet reiterated like 60 times. So I'm not going to call it a – I'm not going to call it a rehab start because that is, at this point, just big-time popular opinion.
Calling it an assignment, not a rehab.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, rehab assignment. Yeah.
Which I was confused about because the first time I read that tweet, I didn't realize the joke, and I was like, wait, isn't he supposed to be getting his start against the Orioles? I was like, it blew right over my head.
Yeah. But I don't – that joke kind of sucks once it's been said a bunch. He is going to pitch against the god-awful Orioles and hopefully just – keep up with his stuff.
You know what's crazy?
Just stay on his.
Is that we threw Pomeranz, Johnson, and Porcello to the Blue Jays, which Porcello is Porcello is our number three guy. And then, you know, that's for the Blue Jays, the hard hitting Blue Jays. And then we go to face the 45 and a half games back Baltimore Orioles, and we're throwing Price, Eovaldi, Sale, like putting all our heavy hitters out there for the Orioles.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of those things where it's just like a scheduling thing.
Yeah, that's how the rotation was going.
Yeah, which is one thing that we've seen a lot of teams do when they face the Red Sox. They're sort of like the Phillies did it where they threw Nolan Arrieta, they like short rest. And you sort of think, you go, like, this is hilarious. Like, there are teams who – at the end of July are switching up their rotation just to face, like, we haven't seen, like, we see that sometime, like, obviously the contending teams is a big series, like interdivision play, but like an interleague squad switching their rotation. I think that was literally just like them trying to prove to the rest of the league that, like, hey, we can hang with the best team, which is, in my opinion, just so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like they should, I mean, I think it's kind of dumb to say, but like if they were just to concede the games and throw their worst guys in their bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just sort of was something that I took note of. So thunderstorms expected all weekend. If we get rained out again and they pull that same bullshit rule, I'm going to be so frustrated with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Alex Cora took his leash off too. He's going to go nuts now.
This is like we saw freshman year reserved Alex Cora, and then after that ejection, he's like, okay, I got a little swagger, like I can do this. And we're going to see, I think that we're going to see a new age Alex Cora.
I didn't even expect him to curse. I expected him to run out there and be like, that was a ball, god dang it. Do you even know what you're freaking doing?
Yeah. Hey, man, you're freaking wrong, okay, guy?
Look here, pal.
I don't appreciate your your mediocre decision making. Instead, he was like, "Hey man, fuck that, bro."
He didn't know what to do.
AC, yeah. He's got like John Farrell. He's got like an earpiece with John Farrell. He's like, John, what do I say? He's like, drop as many F bombs in a short amount of time as you can. He's like, wait, like what is that? And he's like, an F, like come on. Come on, AC.
Saying wasn't even making sense. He was just throwing F bombs here and there to make it sound tough.
Brilliant. It was beautiful.
But yeah, that kind of is it just always raining in Baltimore? Like, are people miserable there?
Oh, well, people are definitely miserable there. I think that is not, I think that's mutually exclusive with the rain.
Because I've never heard anybody like, hey man, we're going on vacation, we're going to Baltimore.
I will say, like, Maryland and Virginia are pretty cool, but I think Baltimore is just kind of a shout out. I've got a buddy from Baltimore who's
Baltimore
dope, but sorry, I feels bad, man. But it's because it's just hotter than hell there all of the time. So
I don't want to hear hotter than hell, man. I'm in Texas. It's been like 110 the past 2 months.
You don't experience humidity like Baltimore does. Like Baltimore is literally like the worst spot. And I've got some buddies visiting from school. And it's one of those things where like it's either my buddy's from Milwaukee and he's like, it's either like 95 with 100% humidity or it's pouring rain and there's like no in between. And I think that's the same with Baltimore, is that like it's just really hot for a couple of days and then it just pours for a couple of days.
I'm going to sound so stupid for saying this. Is Buck Showalter still the manager?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he pretty much just sits lifeless on the top step of the dugout.
You
watching
know what sucks?
Team
is he was
crumble.
Such a, he is such a great baseball mind too. And he's with Orioles.
Well, I mean, the Orioles were a contending team just a couple years ago. And like shit happens. I mean, they've got a phenomenal farm system. They could turn it around before we know it. That's the great thing about baseball is like JD. I saw an interview with JD. He was literally talking like, he was like, yeah, I got released in 2013 from the Astros, who were by far the worst team in baseball. And that's the thing is that like in baseball, like, you could literally go from being so bad, and 2 years later, your fan base just doesn't care because you're a competing team or you just won the World Series or something like that.
Ooh, unless you're the San Diego Padres.
Oh, no, I've got a buddy who's a Padres fan, and, like, it's not even fun
to heckle him
anymore.
I didn't look up how many times they went to the playoffs, but I did look at their history the other day because I was thinking, I was like, man, the San Diego Padres always freaking suck. So, I went ahead and looked. They've been around for 49 years now. This is their 49th year, but they won't hit 500. So they've only been over 500 14 times out of 49 years. Guess how many times they've won 90 games or more?
Twice?
Three times. Never won a World Series.
And yeah, that's just tough.
So I was like, is someone ever going to buy the freaking Padres and move them to Vegas or something like that?
Well, yeah, I saw you talking about that. I mean, I guaranteed you, too, that the only person that is responsible for their success at all was El Padre. I'm totally blank on this guy's name.
Who are you thinking
Tony
about?
Gwynn. Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn. You know Tony Gwynn, right?
No, I think I'm drawing a blank.
He's the guy who passed away a couple years ago. He played like 20 years with the Padres. He hit 300 every single year of his career, 300 over. Crazy, crazy good dude.
Tony Gwynn or Tony Gwynn Jr.?
Tony Gwynn.
Oh, man. He looks like Barry Bonds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, he was fat. Called him El Padre.
He was a big boy.
I don't think I ever heard of him. Maybe I
have. Check him out after this. He had great career. I saw a little special, a little like 30 for 30 the other day on ESPN. But the Yankees have eight games back now. You want to talk about the Rangers just real quick? What do you expect from the next three games?
Yeah, well, they lost today. So the deal with the Rangers right now is they're in a huge rebuilding process because they're getting that new stadium in 2020. And so what they've done right now, and actually I've gone through their lineup lately, they're really only behind in pitching. They have no pitching at all, not even in their farm system. Everybody in their farm system still probably 3 to 4 years out of making an impact. But this lineup they have, and granted, they're not having the best of year either. They're 51-66. But since the All-Star break, they've been red, red, red hot because they've been hitting the ball more than their pitchers can allow. Yeah. let me get this lineup real quick because it's going to be some guys you don't know, and it's going to be some names that you're like, okay, yeah, I remember them. They're still all young. Let's see. So, Chin-Soo Choo,
yeah,
one of the greatest catchers, who's been DHing.
Chin-Soo Choo never played catcher. He's an outfielder, wasn't he?
Well, he was a catcher coming over. They put him at catcher, then they put him at outfield, and they're like, "Screw it, we have a plethora of outfielders. We'll throw you at DH." So he's DHing. Then you have Rooney Nador, who is the infamous. Or famous guy who knocked the lights out of Jose Bautista.
That's still one of my favorite baseball moments the last couple of years.
He's hitting 270 on the year. Shinsu Chu's hitting 270. Elvis Andrus, who everybody forgets about, shortstop, is hitting 280 on the year. Beltre hitting 275, but he's kind of done. Then you got Jerickson Profar.
Who's having a good comeback year, right?
Yes, he is. Then you got Joey Gallo. Which he's only four home runs behind.
Yeah, he's also like 24.
Yeah, he's young. I think he's 23 actually.
Yeah,
he was getting talks of being in the home run derby this year.
Well, he's probably going to get a ticket next year if he's like top 10 in home runs.
And his home runs are bombs. Oh, no,
they're not cheap shots.
And then you got Willie Calhoun.
Yeah, who's a great young star, right?
Yes. And then you got Kiner Falefa. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. I know my baseball a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. These guys are all hitting the lights out of the ball, but they can't – it's just their pitchers give up more runs than they can score. So with this Yankee series, I tweeted out earlier, just don't be surprised if they split with the Yankees just because they are hitting the lights off the ball. Today – Hap had a really, really awesome game. Yeah. He's back from hand, foot, mouth, fingers, toes disease.
Mm-hmm. He had head, shoulders, knees, and toes disease, actually.
He
sang that song too many times. He was like, head, shoulders, knees, and oh my God.
He ended up catching the head, shoulders, knees, and toes. But he actually came out and had a really good game. Six innings pitched, 9 strikeouts. But this lineup is just so stacked to hit the ball, especially with the struggling pitching lately. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Wow. Stanton had a home run today. Guess what his exit speed was?
121. Hardest hit ball since 2015.
Did you already read that? 121.7?
No, actually I telepathically engaged with StatCast. That's one of the things. I was given a chip implant when I was born, and the only power I have from it is that I get StatCast updates whenever they happen.
Oh my gosh. You know, he versus the Sox, he hit that 100 I think it was 120 mile an hour single.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it like one hop to Benny. I was like, oh my God. Like, just, but you just kind of, the Yankees came off a good series with the White Sox, which you would hope they would do anyways, because the White Sox are garbage.
Yeah.
But with the Rangers, they're red hot lately. And I also think the Rangers are going to be the team that kind of, they shape the West, since everybody in the West has to play them at least 6 to 9 more times this year. Especially Oakland. They just got done beating up the Mariners, who are absolutely on a downhill skid, the hardest skid of their entire life, which I feel so bad for them, because the people of Seattle haven't seen a great ball team since 2001.
Yeah, I've got a buddy who's a Mariners fan. And I mean, we'll get into the postseason picture when we cover the rest of the league, but it's just, he's so deflated.
Yeah, I mean, in Seattle, you got the freaking you got the Supersonics taken away from you, and you got freaking the Seahawks, which have like one Super Bowl and downhill since, and then you got the Mariners, who don't know how to win ball games, and it's just raining all the time.
Yeah, just tough looks.
But this New York Texas series, you just hope they split it. There's not a lot to say about it. You just, especially if, since we're going to Baltimore, you expect us. Is this a 4-game set with Baltimore?
Yeah, because of the doubleheader.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, that sucks. That sucks so bad. But if the Rangers can take 2 and we can end up sweeping, we'd be up double digits.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely, Red Sox, we just need a sweep. It's that simple.
Yeah, it's the Orioles. I mean, they kill the Yankees, but Mookie Betts owns the Orioles. And freaking, I love that ballpark they have, though.
I mean, we've talked about it before. Camden Yards is just nice, dude. Camden Yards is so nice.
Have we talked about it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a beautiful ballpark. It just sucks the Orioles play there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that concludes section 2. Looking ahead, brought to you.
Oh, did you want to talk about the Players Weekend jerseys?
Oh, yeah, great call. All right, I'll kind of rattle them off real quick. So, Matt Barnes is Barnacles, which is awesome.
Wait. Before you do this, what are the players? Because I'm still a little bit confused on Players Weekend jerseys.
Okay, so it's implemented by MLB last year. It's just like players just get to like pick the nicknames they want, and they wear interesting, like they wear cool jerseys. Sort of like a navy blue with like a red trim and red sleeves, no buttons jersey. They're kind of cool. I have a Benny one actually. It's pretty sweet. So Matt Barnes is Barnacles, which is awesome.
Down with it.
Andrew Benintendi is Benny, which is He was Benny Baseball in Arkansas, and he was Benny Biceps his rookie last year's 2017 season.
He's still Benny Biceps.
Yeah, but I think that he didn't want to make people upset, so he just went with Benny and let the peanut gallery sort it out. Mookie Betts is Mookie, which no problem with. Mookie could do whatever he wants.
Yes.
Xander Bogaerts is Bogey, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
JBJ is JBJ.
Original.
Dan Butler is Butler, which what? I don't think he has to. He is no – literally, like, he's like a journeyman catcher. It's not like he's going to come up here and be like Dan the Man Butt Guy or something, like Butt Man or something.
Hey, man, what do you want your nickname to be on your weekend jersey?
Butler. What do I want mine? Oh.
No. He's like, Butler.
He's like, yeah, you can just put my last name on it. I'm not going to get any time. Devers is Carita, which means baby, and like baby face in Spanish, which.
Oh, perfect.
Makes perfect sense. Eovaldi's Evo, which is cool. That's kind of just like a cool last name.
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
Heath Hembry is Heater Here. Like here, H-E-R-E, which I don't get it. I don't understand where that comes from.
Where is he from? It sounds like he's from the South.
Probably. Or he just smokes heaters.
He
wants them here the whole time. Oh, that's what it is. Is he's like very informal when he asks for cigarettes from people. He goes, heater here. And that's it. Marco Hernandez, who has not seen a baseball field since 2011, is Marquito. No one cares. He's on our 40 man.
Oh, okay.
Brock is Brockstar.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, he was the same one last year. Brian Johnson. Can you guess what Brian Johnson's is?
Hopefully it's something to do with Johnson.
Long Dong Johnson.
Yeah. Are they putting that on the jersey?
No, it's BJ.
Oh, man. Come
nothing
on.
Wrong with, nothing wrong with BJ.
No, come on. They got to put Long Dong Johnson on there.
Joe Kelly is Jimmy B of WBK Punta Gorda.
Jimmy Cannon.
Jimmy B. And Kinsler's Bootsy, which is awesome. Like, I would love to hear the story behind that.
Yeah, I wonder what. Yeah, I think I do know where Brockstar comes from. That's totally a Stephenville thing.
Yeah,
they have that. They have that like in a news story on inside. There's like this restaurant here. So Brock Holt is from Stephenville, where I go to school, and like there's like this 24-hour diner here that has like his jerseys in and whatnot in like news stories. And I think I like drunkenly read that one night at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and then Craig Kimbrell's Dirty Craig, which could not make any more sense. The Alabama boy being Dirty Craig.
I wish he would shave that beard, man.
No, dude. Remember when Mitch Moreland shaved his beard? I'm like, what imposter put on Mitch Moreland's jersey tonight and hit a home run? Like, who is you know what? That's him. It's him without the – he needs the beard back. Yeah, same thing with Dirty Craig. Dirty Craig needs a beard, especially for Players Weekend with a nickname like that. We got more. Sandy Leone is Noah, which is their first child. So he just has his son's name.
Oh, that's not fun.
Austin Maddox is Mad Dog, which is cool. M-A-D-D dog.
Where are we going to see him again?
I don't know. I think he's on the DL. So I don't know time frame. JD Martinez is Flacco, F-L-A-C-O. Oh. Do you know where that comes from?
From ASAP.
It's not like Flacco, Jody. It's like not. I mean, you know what? So JD's walk-up song is a Rick Ross song that he's had his whole career. So he actually might have some sort. He's like big in rap, I think. So that might make sense.
Yeah, because that one song is – let me search this real quick. J.D. Flacco. I don't know. That's just one of ASAP's song, Pretty Flacco, J.D. But I can't see J.D. Martinez being, like, heavy into the rap scene.
No, I think he is. I think he is. Miami boy doing it dirty. Mitch Moreland is Mitchie Two Bags. Of course.
I'm surprised it's not steak and potatoes.
Yeah, steak and potatoes are dog petter.
He's got some pretty dogs, though.
Yeah, dude, they are some beautiful labs. He is just a Southern boy through and through.
Oh, 100%. What was the last one you just said?
Nooney is Nunez. Late Lightning is Steve Pierce. Can't not wait for the Garen Austin special.
Whoa. Say that again.
Late Lightning. L-A-T-E Lightning.
Late Lightning. I need to hear the background stories.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to get like a Garen Austin sideline report.
Okay, bet. Is that all of them?
No. Petey, Big Smooth, Rick Porcello's 22. That's what the Spanish-speaking players call him sometimes. It's like stuck with him. 22, it means 22. David Price is Slim Duncan, which is
what?
I don't even know where that comes from, but okay. Eduardo Rodriguez is El Gualo, which means – Spanish dictionary. Gualo are, I don't even know. It doesn't come up.
Yeah, that's got to be some heavy slang.
Yeah, it's definitely just slang.
That's something that's like probably a joke that shouldn't be put on a jersey that only people who speak, you know, Spanish are going to understand and be like, yeah. Wow, that's on a jersey.
Rob Manfred definitely did not do his like screening correctly. He's like, oh.
That's he did the same like thing you did. He typed it into Google and put translate. He's like, it doesn't mean nothing.
Yeah. My favorite one is Chris Sale. He is the conductor.
Oh, I read this today.
Do you know why?
Because he's punching the ticket.
Dude, I love that. Like, I'm like 2 days away from getting the conductor shirt.
Oh, yeah. Jersey. What? Yes, we should make those.
Bro. We would not make any money.
What are you talking? What? So I didn't. So
well, you can also just buy them off of like DHgate for like $19.
Yeah, but we can just undercut them. We'll put it at $18.
That's coming out of your pocket.
I'll put that on the international bank of my dad.
Then.
But that's the best one, the conductor.
Yeah, by far. Just breeze through a couple of these. We all know these. Carson Smith is Smitty. Blake Swihart is Swy. Tyler Thornburg is Thorn. Christian Vasquez is Colo. It's like a nickname. Hector Velasquez is Cabezon, which means big head.
Hey.
I love Velasquez. What a guy. Oh,
I think he was having somewhat of a good day until – He got a
bloop single. Yeah. Workman is Work, and Stephen Wright is Nuxy, obviously, because he is a knuckleballer.
Hey, have you seen his workout videos? He's looking strong.
Hey, babe. Coming back. Love that.
I really want to see him come back.
Yeah, dude. He's nasty sometimes. Sometimes he gets hit around, but most of the time he's pretty nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I like – what's your favorite besides the conductor? The conductor is the best one.
I like Dirty Craig just because it's like so Craig Kimbrell. Yeah. And I love Mitchie Two Bags. Like that just like rolls off the tongue.
I want to know where Slim Duncan came from.
Yeah, me too. Pretty bad. I also like Matt Barnes Barnacles. That's kind of
cool. Yeah, I like Barnacles too. It's, you know, it's family friendly.
Yeah. So that does it for section two, looking ahead and all things other than recap Red Sox. This one is brought to you by 365 Water, the brand of water that Whole Foods sells.
Oh, man, that's some fancy San Francisco. We shop at Whole Foods water.
Yeah, it's just like bottled water. I don't know.
For $40.
Yeah. Yeah, it might. It beats me, man. I didn't buy it.
Appreciate it, 365 Water.
Yeah, shout out. So that does it for section two, and we will be right back with section three. Boop. Sammy there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that worked. All right, so quickly, section three around the horn. A's go out and get Fernando Rodney off the waiver wire. They stay active. And honestly, kind of scares me.
Isn't he's the same one that wears his hat sideways, right?
Yeah, the bow and arrow man.
Oh, my gosh.
People have called him the modern-day Robin Hood.
From the Twins?
Yeah.
Wait, how'd they go get him?
Waiver deals.
Oh, they put him out on waivers?
Yeah.
Wow, why would they do that? Well, I guess the Twin season's kind of done.
Yeah, it's very much done. So, honestly, again, kind of scares me. He's been good against the Red Sox this year, and the A's bullpen's already very strong. And the Red Sox have not had great success against the A's.
And not against Rodney either.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the A's still are going to have to most likely face the Yankees in the wild card.
Yeah.
But I guess I can go either way. I mean, I'm more scared of the Yankees than I am of the A's. I mean, I don't know what you feel about that.
Yeah, I just think the A's are the only team that's had the Red Sox number this year.
Yeah, they have. But I think once playoff time, it's a totally different ball game. And I don't think them picking up Rodney is really a move that they were making for us, but more or less making to finish out the rest of this season strong and see if they can push towards getting a division.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have to see them. If they won their division, then we wouldn't have to see them until the ALCS. And if they won, if they didn't and they won the wild card, we see them in a five-game ALDS.
Yeah. So I think that it's definitely a team to keep your eye on. Obviously, they're playing good baseball. So we'll kind of just have to gauge that more
quickly. That's crazy that they threw him on waivers. Well, I guess it's not crazy, but I keep forgetting that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah. They've been active. Justin Verlander struggled today, gave up 6 earned.
Dang, who'd they play?
Mariners.
Oh, well, even though the Mariners have been on an absolute skid lately and they were winning ball games like no other, they can still put up numbers, but it's surprising they would do it against Verlander.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where's that game at? Let me see. Oh, they won that game 8-6.
Yeah, it ended up being kind of a barn burner, but
he only pitched 2 innings?
Mm.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. I thought it was just over. Oh, my gosh. Wow, he's 11-7 on the year.
Yeah, not having a great year since his hot start.
But granted, everybody is still out for Houston still.
Yeah.
So, and they didn't give him – well, I guess you can't – if that – I mean, that all happened the second inning too. Golly, he got smacked around.
Yeah. Yankees, we sweep the White Sox. We saw that. We talked about that a little bit. Kenley Jansen has an irregular heartbeat.
Ooh.
Yeah, so obviously that's the kind of injury where really could affect the long-term health of a guy. I don't have any grudge against the Dodgers at all, so injuries to them, obviously you feel bad for the franchise, but you really worry about something like that.
I wonder if it's a because I study this, so it's kind of interesting when you have irregular heartbeats, but I wonder if it's an athlete's heart. So where they have a lot of athletes have it just because they're so active and whatnot that they build this muscle that surrounds the heart's called the myocardium. And when there's too much buildup, it can cause an irregular heartbeat, which can lead to the craziest things happening on a field, which you don't want to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
quickly MVP rate. We sort of touched on this a little bit earlier. Mookie and JD, I think right now my pick is with Mookie. If JD wins a triple crown, you can't give a triple crown winner. You cannot give the triple crown winner the MVP, which is very obvious.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I asked this the other day. Do you include WAR?
Absolutely.
But
I don't like it being the deciding stat in a season like this where there are other people that deserve the MVP, like Trout.
Because I'm thinking it's going to come down to, like, JD getting snubbed, kind of. I think Mookie will win it, but I think Trout will get second if he comes back in time. And then JD will kind of get snubbed in that third or fourth place voting because he doesn't have the WAR that they have, which is MVP should be really honestly decided on MVP or above the offensive statistics. I mean, everybody can play defense for the most part.
Yeah. I think Mookie ends up winning it if he stays healthy, which
so I think Mookie does too. So this last topic you have on here before we tell people what it is, I'm kind of confused on it because I'm pretty sure this guy is already retired. No, but
they're retiring his number.
Oh, okay. That's why I've been seeing all. Well, I guess what was it? Yesterday was the anniversary
of his record-setting home run.
Yeah. So if y'all haven't guessed it by now, I'll let Ben go ahead and take this one because I didn't even know this was happening.
Yeah. So it's actually a game that I'm going to be attending.
Ooh.
Yeah. Really looking forward to it. I got like a whole city day planned out with my dad. It's going to be a hell of a time. I'm from San Francisco. For any of you that don't know, shout out the Bay Area. Shout out 415. But
shout out Whole Foods. Shout out 365 Water.
Shout out all the sponsors. Thank you for your long lasting support. It's been much appreciated. It's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, there's a lot of love in this city for Barry Bonds and everything that he did. There's not so much love for him around the league. And there's that ongoing debate about players from that PED era being inducted into the Hall of Fame. This is a topic for another time. We're sort of running out of time. The man had unprecedented power. I saw him hit some home runs. I was watching some of his highlights, and the dude just used to just absolutely smack the shit out of the ball. So I'm really excited. The Giants are playing the Bucks, the Pirates, the Pirates have been hot recently. Pirates took game one of the series tonight, 10-5. I'm excited. It should be a good game. It should be an even better day at what is a phenomenal ballpark in AT&T.
Did you go there since you're from the Bay Area, did you go there during the World Series a couple years ago?
Yeah, so that is my one and only World Series game with my dad, who's not really a baseball guy, but wanted to get in on the action.
Yeah, why not? A World Series in your town?
Yeah, so we went 2014 against the Royals. I saw a game that ended up being like 13-8, I think.
Oh, beautiful. Where are you sitting at for this Barry Bonds retirement?
First baseline.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I see. I've always wanted to actually not even be in the ballpark, but be in the actual bay.
Yeah, see, that's with a canoe. One thing I definitely want to do. That is really cool.
Because when they had the home run derby there a couple years ago, that was awesome.
Yeah. It's a beautiful ballpark. The food is unreal. San Francisco known for its food. So,
man, y'all don't know nothing about food.
Oh, I mean, it's different. I've been to Texas a time or two, and believe me, I more than appreciate the food that you guys have down there, the barbecue and the brisket and all that.
Oh, don't even give me – God, it's like 1:30 in the morning here, or 1:13, and I want brisket right now.
Yeah, dude, I could go for some brisket as well.
That's awesome that they're retiring his number after kind of like everything that happened with the scandals and whatnot.
I mean, just to reiterate, there's so much love for that dude.
The dude still hit, even if he was roiding. I mean, he was roiding. You still got to hit a home run to begin with, and you still got to do it off major league pitching. And he hit, you know, over 750 of them. So,
yeah, he's one of those guys we have not seen that kind of, I mean, again, we get it. It was a steroid era, but we haven't seen that kind of pure raw power. Since I'd argue Josh Hamilton.
Yeah, but then he fell off with his cocaine and alcohol addiction.
Yeah, that was tough. But that just about wraps it up. We'll be back probably Sunday night with another podcast. Red Sox are currently 46 games. Yeah, 46 games over 500. 8-game lead in the AL East. They're rolling. Sam, I appreciate you coming on as always. Episode number 6, we appreciate all of you who have supported the podcast thus far. I think I speak for the both of us when I say we absolutely love doing this. It's a great way to stay involved with the Red Sox.
Yeah, and it's not even like it's like something that, oh man, we got to do this. Like I thoroughly enjoy talking Red Sox two times a week for an hour and a half.
Yeah. We appreciate all you tuning in with us. So that concludes today's episode, Front Yard Sox, episode number 6, titled Porcello Has the Blues as He Faces the Jays. Bang. A little bit of a hangover for him after what was a phenomenal start against the Yankees. But honestly, Mookie, as for the cycle, most noteworthy thing that has happened to the Red Sox in about 4 days.
The mega cycle.
The
super cycle. The super cycle.
So thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you all on Sunday. Have a good one, Sam.
Yeah, see you, brother.
Peace.